Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy Radio Show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Shall we plunge into the exercise from yesterday?
Let's plunge.
The way to make your dreams come true is to wake up. Let's pause to take that in for a moment. As long as we're walking around in conditioned mind, we are asleep, unavailable to life's creativity. We're living in a conversation that is pointing out all the reasons why dreams can't, won't come true. For life to express itself, we have to be a clear channel, an instrument of peace. Today, each time you walk through a door, let it be a call to awaken. Come back to this here now and realize you are one with the power of creation. Record and listen. So shall we hear from our first caller, Sherry?
Yes, let's.
First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Ooh.
Ooh.
Big echo.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, are you on a computer?
I am on a computer.
Yeah, I'm afraid it's messing with the longitude and latitude.
Okay.
I think it's clear, Sherry, so long as I don't talk. So.
All right, well, let's try it then. Who's this?
This is Marianne in BC, Canada.
Hey, Marianne.
Well, I'm glad I could talk because this exercise really speaks to me. I guess partly because I've had so much experience with it working, and I just wanted to share that, you know, it's not just little dreams that can kind of manifest if you use this technique. I built a television studio doing this. And it was just waiting for life to present things and just staying open to the process. And I kept a little diary because I thought it was so amazing.
Aha. And so what you were aware of doing throughout that endeavor was just kind of waiting, paying attention, being present for what life offered next to do, and then you would do that, and then the next step would be presented, and you would do that, and wound up with a television studio.
Yeah, there's a bit of faith because the next step doesn't always just appear right away.
Yeah, it's like planting my morning glories. Sometimes the next step is presented after you just built that wing on the building. Right? You found out you didn't actually need that one.
Yeah, and so I had, you know, kind of quite startling things manifest that you wouldn't think of, you know, well, because you wouldn't think of them. That's what came
yes.
up. And
yes. Yes. Exactly so. Yeah.
So I had kind of discovered this process before I discovered you. So now I have a better handle on what I was doing.
Yes. And, well, to see that it actually is a thing. Right? It wasn't just some random something that happened to you accidentally. It was an experience of how life works.
Yes, and I always just was being awake for the next clue. And I didn't know about the voices in the head when I was doing this. And I think that that actually makes it easier because you know what, okay, shut that off so that I can be this clear channel.
Mm-hmm. And that's the whole deal, isn't it? You can really see that that conversation in conditioned mind is what keeps a person from being able to be aware of, to tune into the information that life is dropping in as life unfolds in each moment.
Yeah, and I just wanted to share that, you know, so that people know it's not just, it's, you know, like you can do business this way. It's not just for...
You can do anything this way. Yes, and happily.
Yes, and very happily.
Mm-hmm. That's the difference. Because, again, all of people's problems, everything that we're told is wrong, is happening in conditioned mind. When we're not looking there for what life is or how we are or what to do or how to be or any, when we're not going to conditioned mind, when we're actually here where life is unfolding, there aren't any problems.
Yeah. And anyways, I just wanted to share that, you know.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
It's not just airy-fairy.
Oh, it's not airy-fairy at all. The Buddha was hardly ever airy-fairy. That nobody, I've never known anybody to describe the Buddha as airy-fairy. He was pretty, I would project, joyful, completely grounded individual.
I guess I meant, you know, when people think, oh, you can, your dreams can come true, that there's like maybe Walt Disney kind of...
Right, or The Secret, which is my, horror movie on that subject. You know, you just get a faraway look in your eye, and you think about what you want really hard, and you manifest it. God help us all. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's definitely not the way to do it. Anyways,
no, that's not it. Yeah.
Anyways,
right, thank you.
Steve Casho.
Thank you, Marianne. Casho to you. Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Marianne. It's not airy-fairy that we can actually, it's very practical. I just love that about our practice. It's so practical because it's the way it's the way life works.
Yes, and the dream coming true is awakening.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When we're here and present to life, our dreams have come true. The content is irrelevant, and we quickly see that. So I could do this, or I could do that, I could be here, I could be there. It doesn't matter. I could be doing something, I could be doing nothing. It doesn't matter. The point is presence.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, there isn't an unfulfilled wish.
Yes, exactly. Only in conditioned mind can we find unfulfilled wishes, and there's a ton of them there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Warehouses full. Yeah. Dissatisfaction, unhappiness, disappointment, regret, guilt, remorse. Yeah, just warehouses full of that in conditioned mind. But here,
Well, here's our next caller, Sherry. Next caller,
right,
we're live on the air.
Here.
Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Susie from Idaho.
Hello, Susie.
Hi.
What are you seeing?
This is the first. Well, I'm talking. that's a big thing.
You hit star six or whatever that was, and you're in the queue, and then you heard you are unmuted, and you opened your mouth, and sound came out, which is kind of miraculous the first go around, isn't it?
It is. And what I've been focusing on is that feelings aren't related to doing.
Yes.
So. Not everything yet feels, I'm not always accessing that mentor in recording and listening, and I still get distracted a lot and hear the voices a lot in conditioning, but I'm saying, so what?
Yes.
Just do what you said you're going to do. It doesn't matter if you like it or not at the moment.
That's it. God, that's it. I tell you, I wish we could bottle that and give it away everywhere in the world. Because what a secret to a happy life that is.
Yeah, I see that. Of course, still feeling it. You know.
Right. We still get tripped up. But you know
yeah.
that it's true. So when the voice
yeah.
says, I don't want to, I don't feel like it, it's too hard. It's like, okay, well, why don't you go back to bed? But I am a person of commitment, and so this is what I said I'm going to do, so this is what I'm going to do. And the feeling of what is that feeling that goes with that? It's just all kinds of things that have nothing to do with ego, right? There's a confidence and a surety, a steadfastness, a trust, a solidity. You're not going to get blown over in the first little breeze that comes by.
That is true. That's what I do notice, that there is that
mm-hmm.
sense of strength and being your feet on the ground. You're not going to get
mm-hmm.
pushed over.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you're not a pushover anymore.
Oh, that's a nice thought. I'll have to record that.
Yeah. And you know, the other thing, Susie, when you said that, people are afraid of feelings, right? I mean, not only that kind of, I don't feel like it's too hard, I'm too busy, that sort of thing, but also, you know, I can't let myself feel, I can't let myself know that I want X, Y, or Z. I can't be attracted to somebody because if I want whatever that is, then my whole life is going to come apart. Because when I want something, when I am attracted to something, when I'm drawn to something, it means I have to act on it.
Ah, yes.
So I can't get upset about something because I'm going to have to then yell at that person. So I have to repress, suppress, depress all of my emotions because they're scary, because I'll do something and I'll be sorry. I'll get in trouble. So when we get it that sensations are just sensations, emotions are just emotions, they're just sensations with a thought pattern attached, when we get that, then you can have any experience you want. You know who you are, and you know what you're committed to. So there's just no problem.
Sometimes, yes. Yes, that is true.
Yeah. Well, it's what we're going for all the time, huh?
Yes, and it's what I have found. So I'm quite grateful and happy, and as everyone else, so grateful to you guys for doing this and for the whole Sangha mm-hmm. for working together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's powerful,
so,
isn't it? Yeah.
It is.
Well,
it is,
thank you. That's very good. Very fun.
Thank you. Bye, both of you and everyone else.
All right,
thanks,
bye.
Susie. No, Sherry, when you were talking about that, the image that rose for me was was Buddha sitting under the Bodhi tree and putting his hand down on the earth to as witness.
Uh-huh.
Right? With all of that thought of temptation and desire and inadequacy and all of that was being yelled at to him by Mara, the voices. And it's what you were talking about to the previous caller. There's a sense of groundedness that mm-hmm. is, that in, as in Susie's conversation, can witness everything.
Yes. Yes.
That quality.
Yeah. And it grows. Right? As much as the voices want it to minimize the practice, because we're not there yet, and we know we're not there yet, wherever there is, we're not even trying to get there, we're trying to get here, right? And it is what we go back to, and the point that was made, the importance of recording and listening in that. Because mm-hmm. when all of that is that swirl of stuff that goes on in conditioned mind, we can pop in that recording that reminds us of who we are and what's important to us and why we choose what we choose and our experience of that.
Yes, as the container of all rather than mm-hmm. that limitation that avoids or attaches.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Okay, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, my goodness. Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Ashwini and Sherry. This is Kim calling from Vashon Island, Washington.
Hello, Kim.
I was so excited to hear you talk about Heavenly Blue Morning Glories yesterday because I love them, too. I sort of like have a spiritual connection with Heavenly Blue Morning Glory, so what a fun thing.
I think their name has more to do with heaven than their color. Really, I think they are very spiritual flowers. I think that's inherently the case. Maybe not, but I like to think.
they bloom a little later here in Washington, so. But I'm calling because I'm practicing so hard to look to life to give me the next step, just as you were speaking mm-hmm. with the last callers. And I'm struggling with my child right now, who is struggling herself. And we have been through some pretty hard days. And yet there was one day where I was very present and just keeping going back to the mantra, I breathe in peace, I breathe out love, while she was going through her stuff. And it worked for me. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it worked for her, you know. And there's that mother part of me that, you know, I've heard you speak to other callers about this, and I go back and listen to those calls all the time. And it's like, bring it back to yourself, bring it back to yourself. And I'm really practicing hard, and I feel a little like I need some support in another way. I can't, and maybe that's conditioning.
So, Kim, a little content here.
Yeah.
How old is she? What's the struggle?
Yeah, this is a teenager, and she's having a lot of sleep struggles. And I heard open air last night of you speaking with a person who was having sleep issues, and I said to her, you know, I just heard somebody talk exactly about the problem that you're having, and I sort of tried to, you know, and she's not into Zen, you know, per se, other than what she witnesses from me. And I, you know, mm-hmm. I sort of went into the short answer that you gave yesterday, and she was like, not helpful, Mom. And she's like, ugh. So I'm like, okay. And then I'm just taking it back to myself. Okay, breathe, you know. And then, you know, I've heard you say to Brad a few times, you know, well, this is your child, so you're just going to say it's okay. It's okay. And that's where I get to.
Mm-hmm. And so do you also get to go outside and jump up and down and scream and yell and carry on and come back in? And do you get to do that part?
You mean for my own? I go and take a big hard run, and that sort of dissipates
yeah.
some of that frustration.
Yeah.
And it's not frustration. I think it's worry also, but
mm-hmm.
I don't like going to worry. It seems so, because life told me the other day in the midst of the crisis, it was like, okay, you're going to call the counselor now, her counselor. And I did. And the counselor was there. And then she talked to the counselor, and then we talked to another counselor. And then, you know, I mean, life gave me structure and guidance.
Encouragement
and
support. Yeah.
And encouragement mm-hmm. And I guess conditioning keeps wanting to pull me into like, well, this is really serious. And, you know, because she starts talking about suicide, and I don't think
mm-hmm.
she would go to that place, but that is so for a parent, right?
Well,
you know,
yeah,
that's
the worst.
That's the scariest place, right?
Yeah. Well, and so, you know, Buddhism is a big look at life, right? It really is. I mean, it's not a Judeo-Christian. You start out and you're making it to the finish line and that's it. You know, it's a big old revolving look at life, and the continuous nature of life, that there's a change in form, but that which is animating the form is changeless. So at any particular life experience is that particular life experience. Now that's really, really challenging for any of us when we're looking at the particular forms that we are attached to right now.
Mm-hmm.
You with me on that one?
I am, and I've heard you say that about animals and children, and like look to all children, and it does open my heart.
Yes, and we are not in control of anybody else's karma, no matter how much we love them.
Right,
we're just not. We cannot control life. We can do the very best that we can do, and that is the very best that we can do. So, you know, in a situation like that, the place that I went to, and I have no idea, but I was identifying with your daughter as you were talking, and to be in such a state of unconsciousness, which she is, I can promise you she is, and if you can remember being a teenager, you will agree with me. It is a profoundly unconscious time. Although I didn't think I was unconscious, and I bet you didn't either, and I bet she doesn't either. You know, we think we know everything, and we're on top of everything, and we don't know squat. So to be able to be in that state of unconscious confusion and just flailing around and have somebody give you unconditional acceptance is an extraordinary thing.
That worked the other day because it was just like,
yes.
I breathe in peace, I breathe out love. I choose unconditional love unconditionally, like over and over. And,
yes.
You know, and then the action parts came in, you know, from life, right?
Yes.
Do this, call
yes.
her, call this, you know.
Yes. And so one other question. When you are not able to be in that place, are you able to express that to her?
Well, I get immediately identified with defending and wanting to help and anger and, you know, and so, that's showing me that I'm not helpful, but I haven't specifically said, you know, I'm not helpful for you right now.
Yes. Well, and what you can do that I think is even more helpful is process your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
That you can say, I'm sorry, you know, I really love you, and I feel so helpless. I feel so helpless to do anything to help you, and it's just, it's really hard, and I'm sorry. It has nothing to do with you. It's what's going on with me.
Right.
Because for a child to see an adult process their experience can be one of the most helpful doorways for that child, because it's a clue that there is another way of being.
I love that. You know what? I love that because I always think about, like, I so wish she would do anything related to mindfulness practice. But as you say, you know, teens are teens. But I remember you saying you have to walk through the door. You cannot hold the door open for with practice. Right. You walk through and then you know.
That's right.
Because if everybody's holding the door open, nobody's walking through. So I really, that resonates so much. So thank you. I will give that a try.
Yeah. Just to be honest. Not in a guilt-producing kind of way, although she'll take it however she takes it. But she'll see somebody taking responsibility for being less than their idea of perfect. And that's what she's trying to learn to do.
Right. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Let us know. Stay in touch, huh?
Okay. Thanks, Sherry.
All right. Thanks, Kim.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Kim.
Oh, it's just so beautiful when people call in and really process what's going on for them. I mean, it reveals how we can all approach the content of our lives within the practice framework.
Yes.
It's so beneficial.
And how it's all waking up.
It's all waking up.
That's what we're attempting to do, a la our quote that we're working on, right? Or that we were working on yesterday, right? This is the process of being awake to everything as it is.
Yes, and to get to that universal perspective that you were talking about, that this is the revolving door of existence and all of us are working out of our karma. And if we can express that that's what we're doing to everyone else, then it's that social relief we're talking about. We're helpful, actually helpful, because we're expressing what's true.
Yes. Yeah. And that's so rare in our conditioned world, isn't it? For somebody just to say what is actually so without apology or feeling bad or no manipulation, just this is what's going on with me right now.
Mm-hmm. Or blame, you know? It's your fault or my fault or any... Or there's some, well, I think what dropped in when you said that is there's nothing wrong, right? There's nothing wrong with any experience. As long as we're willing to take responsibility for our experience.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with not taking responsibility. It just gets really painful. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. I believe we have time for one more. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Yikes, I squeezed in. Hi, Sherry, and hi, Ashwini. This is Justin calling.
Hello, Justin.
Hi, Justin. How are you? Can hear me okay? Good.
Yeah, loud and clear.
I'm so happy I called in. I'm on the East Coast here, so it's my lunch break here usually, and usually at work it's just, you know, so busy that I don't even consider kind of calling in. But last week Friday, my Zen awareness coach said, put my feet to the fire and said, you know, make the commitment and, you know, get in the queue. So I'm glad I did, and so here I am. So what's interesting is that like everyone else listening in, I started this process at the beginning of the year and try to kind of be dutiful, you know, print out the assignment every day, stick it next to my desk and whatnot. And, you know, it's become routine. But in fact, you know, because I've actually made the commitment to call in, you know, yes, and actually make the commitment to do the exercise, you know, it's taken on a lot more meaning than just sticking it up and, you know, kind of just doing the bare minimum of just looking, staring at it for a couple of minutes and, you know. So that's good. But, yeah, the one thing I did notice is that, you know, this is a tough exercise to do. And, you know, thinking back and, you know, making a little recording yesterday and, you know, to actually... You know, the amount of doorways that I've walked through and not been present is a lot more than the ones that, you know, to be awake as I walk through. So, you know, a good wake-up call and kind of like what I talked about to my Zen awareness coach last week, it is, you know, I feel that, you know, what I need is it, not what I need, where I'm going is that, you know, there is this gradual escalation of awareness into everyday life, but, you know, it's gradual. Hopefully I'm not too rambling too much, and that makes sense.
Yeah, well, and the to me, the realization that, wow, I went through a lot of doorways, and most of them I wasn't present to.
Yes.
That in itself is really helpful. That's the kind of awareness we're meant not to have. Because if I don't have that, or the, you know, you agree that you're going to call in, And you go from, okay, my practice with the quotes is to print them out and hang them up. There, I did that. And then you realize that's not quite the same as reading it, taking it in, bringing it into the day. So those kinds of moments of clarity, I think, are just essential in our practice, right? Because we can get lulled into believing conditioning story that we're present when, in fact, we are not.
Amen. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it reminds me of the, you know, that old story of the, his name was Joshu, but it could be Justin. And he, in order to try to wake up, he would walk around and he would holler, "Joshu?" And then he would say, "Yes." And I just love that as a technique for at work. It might not, you know, be the thing to do. But that kind of, "Are you here?" "Yeah, I'm here." Because if we can remember to ask the question, then the answer is going to be in the affirmative, right? It's remembering to ask the question that is at the heart of our practice. Right? Am I here? Am I here? Am I here now? Am I here now? Can I, you know, all of those silly little things we do with twist ties and writing on our hands and, you know, jumping up and down and dancing and anything to try to get us here, so that we're actually awake, even for a split second in any given moment.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I know what my assignment is from here on out and how to interact and how to engage with assignments as they come in the morning. So thank you very much, Kesha.
Yeah, and what it means is periodically you have to call in and put yourself in the queue, because as we know, that's what kind of raises it. It's the check-in, right?
Yes.
Am I really, or have I kind of gone to sleep about that too? All right, well, here we go. We're gonna check that out. So
thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Rishi.
Thanks,
Sherry.
Justin.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you, Justin.
Bye-bye.
Sherry, that reminds me of the Dogen process of, you know, the recognition of the realization that we are that which is seeking. So that which is seeking is causing us to seek. And when we start out on the path, we're not aware that that's what it is.
Yes.
And then we realize it. And that's just a profound place that Justin just pointed us to, that we become aware that we're not aware, and that awareness is what assists us to keep doing what it takes to keep us in awareness.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the awareness that we're not aware, there has to be awareness to become aware that we're not aware, which brings us to the awareness. It's so circular. It seems so circular. And then we realize it's all one process, which can just make you smile, because nothing can ever tell you again that you're asleep. Because if you ever hear a message that you're asleep, you know that you can only hear that message because you're awake.
Yes, exactly so.
But if the message is you're awake, the message is you're awake, you have to check it out.
Yeah, exactly so. Yeah, so the way to make your dreams come true is to wake up, which brings us to our assignment for the day, which is, you become what you think about all day long. Or as the Buddha said, our life is shaped by the mind. We become what we think. Today, pay attention to how ego identity is created by the mind. If you were to transcribe your thoughts, what would they reveal about who conditioning says you are? This is not an exercise to fuel self-hate. It's an attention exercise to expand awareness of the process by which the illusion of a self is created and maintained. Record and listen to what you notice.
You know, I know we don't have time for this, and we could talk about it tomorrow, but that last part of that really, really says it, that what we're trained to do when we become aware of the nattering drivel that is the content of conditioned mind, we're meant to feel bad about it.
Mm.
And we don't want to do that. We want to become aware of it so that we no longer want to engage with it.
Yes, yeah. We want to become aware of it so we no longer want to engage with it. All right, well, we'll hear from how people did that tomorrow. Go happy.
Yes, yes. All right. There's nothing wrong. We might as well go happy, huh?
Yes. Yeah. All right, take care, Sherry. Take care, everyone. We'll
thank you, Ashwini. Thanks, everybody.